Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Net at Night is brought to you by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte, episode 10 for January 16th, 2007, on Easy Fireball. Net at Night is recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time. In California, I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Emma MacArthur from Toronto, Canada.
And you're picking up your cues. you finally figured out.
And we
what we're doing here. And we are live on TalkShoe. Hello, Amber.
Hello, you. Good to continue our chat.
Yes, we've been talking, of course, off the air, but in the chat room about dancing.
Although sometimes we forget that we're still on the air.
You said some pretty personal things, I must say.
I know, because Leo, you're the only voice who I can hear, and so I sometimes forget that there are other people who can hear us. But now I'm realizing.
I'm going to unmute everybody. Would you just tell Amber that you're here and listening?
Hello.
Oh boy.
Does that now you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Leo. You're lucky you're so far away right now, Leo.
You were going to slug me, weren't you?
When you get here tomorrow, I've got a good slug in my arm.
You have yet to hit me in the arm. You used to hit Andy in the arm every show.
Well, Andy used to dump food on me constantly. Actually, Andy, I told you this, I think, but I was hosting Homepage on CB24. It's an hour-long show. And Andy was one of the guests helping to answer questions for the last half hour of the show. And I had this terrible feeling that during the show he was going to do something, like dump food on me. It was quite funny. But he didn't. He behaved good. Good, yeah.
He was
behaved.
I trained Callie Lewis to punch him in the arm. You'll be glad to know.
Oh, good. That's excellent.
Callie, for the last 3 months, has been filling in for Amber. She can't take the job because, she doesn't want the job, but she also can't take it because she's an American and has to be a Canadian co-host. But she was willing to fill in and did a great job. And although we're still seeing on the show a lot of Amber shows, you know, they're rerunning your old shows. I hope that's okay.
Oh, that's fine. Are you kidding me? I just hung a photo in my room today. It's that big sort of pop art photo that I got from that website of you, me, and Andy on the set.
Oh,
and
I love
that painting.
And I just hung
it in my room today. I know. I absolutely love it. So, hey, I'm still reliving the Call for Help years, and I had so much fun.
They're still showing them. I hope City doesn't mind.
Oh, it's all good.
nothing they could do about it. Anyway.
I know. That's what I'm thinking, too. Yeah, I'm sure. It's all good.
Anyway, so Andy was on the show last month, and I said, you know, Callie, it's a kind of traditional that you slug Andy as hard as you can in his arm. And when he came over, she gave him a shot. And he said, ow, I'm still bruised from Amber.
Oh, my goodness. That is hilarious. I did hit him a lot.
But she doesn't have quite the right hook that you do.
Well, especially when I started working on Call for Help, because I remember doing push-ups all the time before every show. Andy and I would get down and we would do push-ups. And so, you know, you get all amped up, right? And I used to drink tons of coffee and I was a bit of a terror. Now I've chilled out a little. I'm not punching people at work. I don't know how well that would go over.
You don't punch Gordo, I hope.
No. I have refrained from punching people. I have not been fired. So
probably a wise career move.
Thank you.
There's
I know. I'm learning.
Anchors who don't like to be punched. I don't know why.
Yeah, they don't want to get physical just yet. I got to wait a few more months.
So you were unfortunately stuck in Toronto all week. You couldn't go to CES. You couldn't go to Macworld Expo. You were watching vicariously from far, far away. How was that?
You know, I have to say it was a really interesting experience. I wasn't paying as much attention to CES. Well, we were doing Net at Night with the keynote from Bill Gates last Sunday
Right.
night. But when Macworld happened and Steve Jobs was doing the keynote speech, I was actually out and I was doing about to do a story on what happened out of Macworld. And so it was kind of fun because I went to a store here in Toronto called CP Used where they sell a lot of Mac stuff. And I went there and I was interviewing the people in the store while we were following along on blogs to find out
fun.
What was happening at Macworld. And then I had my phone in my pocket and Brian McKechnie, who works with me at Citi, was sending me text message updates about what was happening at the keynote. And then finally I get this one message that's like, they launched the iPhone, Amber, they launched the iPhone, call me, call me. And so I texted him back and I said, you know, what features does it have? And he's like, too many, you have to call me. And so
too many.
Finally
I can't
I'm in
write
the
it.
Store and then I'm on my phone and I'm with the cameraman. He's looking at me like I'm a total freak show. And I was so excited. I was giddy all day because it was just, you know, it was kind of, I would have loved to have been there, but it was still a fun day, I think, for all of us who were, you know, get kind of excited about what's going
to
be announced.
There were only 4,000 people who actually got to be in the room. I mean, the vast majority of people were doing exactly what you were doing. And, you know, that's what Merlin was doing. He couldn't get into the keynote. So he, even though we were covering it for Mac Break, he was back at the Pixel Core offices with Alex and Justine and Kendra, and they were all sitting there doing exactly the same thing, reloading the pages. And I think in some ways that's a more geek communal experience. I think that's
Love
probably
you.
More fun.
Oh, I think the really fun part, too, I don't know how many page views our visitors in Gadget got, but I know that it was a lot because they were really following along. And it's just fun to go on all the different blogs and see what people are posting and see how fast that it was happening. And the information just spread so quickly. So I completely agree that it was really fun. And then you start getting these text messages and emails from, you know, all your friends and people in your community are telling you what's happening. And I think it was just a fun day. You know,
it was a geek communal experience. It was a wonderful, you know, in the old days of network television where everybody was watching the Ed Sullivan show, or you know, you'd all be watching the same shows and you'd kind of have this global experience. That's the closest thing we've got to this. Our geek community has this moment where we're all looking at San Francisco and Macworld to see what's going on with the iPhone, and you know what, it was pretty close to the predictions. One of the websites many people were loading again and again was a site called Uneasy Silence. UneasySilence.com. Dan Dorado was in the keynote and typing as fast as he could. He'll be joining us a little bit later on to talk about his experience doing that. And also, he is not an iPhone fan. So we'll get a chance to find out why he doesn't think so much of the iPhone. Also, another great Mac site. Actually, just a great site in general. DaringFireball.com. I'm sorry, .net is a site that's run by John Gruber. He's one of the best writers on Web 2.0 out there, and he will be. Oh, you just got a text. Do you want to check that?
No, it's okay. It's actually from
Brian.
From,
I bet.
No, it's from Jenna. She's in Florida. My roommate's in Florida.
Okay.
So, yeah, she was asking me what I've been doing all weekend. So I'll just slide my phone away for a minute. Sorry about that.
John Gruber was also at Macworld. We'll talk to him and Dan Dorado a little bit later on. But as usual, we start our show with some of the links that Amber has picked for us, starting with that. You want to start with that Saturday Night Live sketch?
Oh, this is hilarious. You know, I don't often, I don't want to say I'm not home on Saturday nights to watch Saturday Night Live, but I don't often watch the entire thing. But last night I had a chance to watch the whole show, and they had, you know, their Steve Jobs impersonator come on and do a little sketch about the iPhone. And if you remember when the iPod Nano came out, they had the same sort of sketch that went up onto YouTube as well. Well, in last night's version where they're talking about the iPhone, it's absolutely hilarious. And they posted it on YouTube. I think I saw it there this morning at about 9 a.m.
This is
Eastern
what put
time.
Saturday Night Live on the map. Remember, was the Lazy Sunday thing, and that was the fight. And then NBC said, "Oh, hey, this is good for Saturday Night Live." I'll be honest. Don't tell NBC this. I don't watch Saturday Night Live. I just go to YouTube on Sunday and find out what I missed. The best stuff is up there. Let's listen to a little bit. They have the best Steve Jobs impersonator, I think.
Oh, it's great.
iPhoto. You can film a movie while watching a movie and making a phone call. While watching your favorite episode of The
Back
Office.
Of the
you can iChat with your iFriends while browsing the internet. You can listen to your favorite U2 song while you're on a 10-way iConference call. On off button.
Very good.
A high resolution screen so you can watch the latest installment of The Office. It holds over 150 kabillion contacts. It has a clock. It automatically calls your best friend when you need a what-what.
Wait a minute. I got to ask you something because I'm not hip and young like you. What's a what-what?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Dane doesn't know either. What?
I just think it's funny.
What is a what-what? Let's ask the chat room. Does anybody know what a what-what is? I'm thinking it's like a booty call or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of assume that. But, you know, sometimes SNL makes up its own words, and I don't know.
Maybe they made that up.
Some random. But it could be something. But it was so funny.
Let's listen to some more. We'll just wrap it up because it's just the very end.
Flashlight. Starbucks. Hi, Genie.
Hi, Genie.
Right, you rub it and it will grant you 3 eye wishes.
Can't wait to get one of these.
iPhone. Everything you will ever need.
How much battery life does it have?
20 minutes.
Steve Jobs, everybody.
I love it. I think that's a very good send up of the iPhone, I have to say.
Oh, I was literally rolling around laughing. And yeah. I thought so funny.
He does a great job. I mean, he's got the black mock turtleneck. He's got the blue jeans. He's kind of the shaved head, the half beard. It's perfect.
Especially, I mean, I was at the keynote last year at Macworld, and for the first time ever seeing Steve Jobs speak live. And it's so funny because he does speak like that. He kind of looks around. He's like, iPhone. And
iPhone.
Then he sort of pauses.
On, off switch.
On, off switch, you know. And then when he starts on SNL, starts saying, you know, 50 kabillion contacts. Because you know, that's how he speaks. He speaks in bullet points, right?
Yeah, he does. He was in rare form. I mean, Steve Jobs was in rare form on Tuesday. I mean, it's the best keynote I've ever seen him give. I mean, he made me want the iPhone, although it's a little bit. He's a salesman. And, you know, after you walk away, some things come up. We'll talk with some people who may not be so excited about the iPhone. You do have this iPhone countdown. .com.
Yeah, someone sent me a link to this. So it's the iPhone countdown. So counting down the days until June until the iPhone comes out. And obviously that's US only. And I know a lot of other countries, including Canada, are not really sure exactly when the iPhone might be here. But a fun thing, and I think this is neat if you actually watch in the past few days, all these different websites that had come up. There was also this funny video on YouTube where they had the Zune phone. So what it was actually someone picking up like a PC. Ear. It's just hilarious stuff.
The Zune phone. Oh, boy. That's inevitable. 137 days, 4 hours, 48 minutes, and 3 seconds, in case you're wondering.
I know. And, you know, it's funny because I even noticed when I was at work in the middle of the day and the conference was happening that there were so many people who, you know, aren't really into Apple products so much, but they were so excited about just probably 5 or 6 of us who were just waiting on the announcement that I think by the end of the day, everybody wanted an iPhone. And it is amazing that you want something so badly that you really don't know anything about
right.
And don't know when it's going to be out. And it's kind of magical and, you know. It definitely makes for funny skits like SNL.
One thing that's clear is that everybody hates their existing cell phone. There's nobody who, I mean, you really liked your Samsung for a while. You're still in love with it? What was it, the A900?
Yeah, it's the A900. I do still really like it, actually. My only issue with it is that I like everything about it except that I kind of like to take photos with my phone, and the problem is that it's only a 1.3 megapixel camera, and I find with a camera phone you need at least 2 megapixels to make the photos at all decent for uploading to the web.
iPhone, so, 2 kabillion megapixels.
6 billion megapixels.
Actually, it is a 2 megapixel phone. And while Steve didn't show it taking pictures, David Pogue was able to take a picture with it. He says it's got a great interface for taking pictures. No, apparently not movies, which is odd. Although, again, this may change by the time they get the phone out. And somebody else pointed out, somebody sent me an email, and this is, I think, true, a little disappointing. We thought at first that maybe the on-off, or the, I guess it's the home button at the bottom there, might be a camera, because then you could have, what? Voice conferencing.
I know.
The camera's on the other side, so you can't.
Yeah, I know. But hey, it'll probably happen in
just
another
just the
version.
First generation, that's right.
Let's be honest, the iPhone is going to be like the iPod, and there's going to be many
right.
versions of it, and it's going to change, and, you know, I'm going to end up with like 6 iPhones in about a year and a half, I can imagine.
Just like the iPod. How many iPods do you have? 5?
I have four iPods now, and I actually have.
But you know, it's funny because you just got your first iPod like a year ago.
Yeah, about just over a year ago. So I got the mini, but I had other MP3 players. Remember, I had that RCA Lyra, right, and then I actually had a Creative MP3 player as well. So yeah.
So you got four. You got four iPods in 1 year.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's truly.
Just want to point
that
out.
Hey, man, you gave me one of them, so you're
only responsible for
25% of that.
Well, iTunes now is going to be able to show. He announced, first of all, it started with Disney, of course, because Jobs is on the board there. He announced that Warner Brothers was going to add, or Universal, I can't remember. I think it was Warner Brothers is going to add some movies. And now Sundance has a deal.
Yeah, this is kind of neat. I just read this on the BBC site in the tech section, which I love. But they announced that at Sundance, there's going to be 33 short films that are being screened in Utah that will be available in the iTunes Music Store for, I think it's about $2. And I think it's kind of neat. You know, you have these people independently creating these movies, and they're screening them, and then you're able to go and buy them on iTunes. You know, just kind of fun. And I find iTunes kind of limited in terms of the movies and TV shows, especially in Canada. So the more stuff like this I hear, the better it is. Because quite frankly, I want to be able to buy and, you know, order movies online and do all of that, because I'm sick of, you know, going into the movie store and not being able to get what I want to see.
In the chat room, Kane, Amateur Travel, and Talk Tech, all three pointed out it's Paramount. Not Warner, not Universal, it was Paramount.
This is great. We have people in the chat room who, you know, are there to like make sure we're keep staying on track. I love it.
Hey, ever since 1994 or maybe 93 when I started doing talk radio with Tech Talk Radio, I've always had an IRC channel, a chat going, because for exactly that reason. You say something wrong and they correct you. And you sound
That's
intelligent.
Perfect.
So I like Toilet Bug, who says, if the phone comes with a taser, I'm in.
Oh, taser.
The iPhone taser. Did you see Amanda Cogdon get tased?
I sure did.
Didn't that make you feel good?
You know, I've decided for my own sanity to not make comments about that.
You don't need to. We don't need to. I'll say it for you. It made me feel good. This was at CES. They had the new personal taser, which we talk about on the GizWiz this week. And I don't know why you'd want to have a personal taser, but anyway, you can carry it around. And they were asking for volunteers. They've done this several years in a row now. In fact, when the first kind of commercial taser came out, not for police use, we had them on the screensavers, and they tased Yoshi. They actually zapped him, and he giggled. I know Amanda wasn't giggling.
Yeah, I don't think I would volunteer to be tasered, but hey, you know what?
It hurts.
Yeah, that's
bad.
That's the thing. You know, it's interesting because I imagine the conversation that happens before she, agrees to get tasered. I mean, does someone convince her that she should do that because it would be really funny? And at that point, you're kind of, you know, then you're on the fence. You know, you have those moments where you're kind of like 50-50, one foot in, one foot out. And you're sort of like, well, this would be kind of good. But then, you know, there's something in your gut that sort of says, you know what? I'm not going to do that because I don't know.
Because you're smart.
Yeah, and yet, you know, you get swayed into the dark side, I guess.
I think it just shows that some people will do anything for attention. Shall we put it that way?
I think you're right. I think that's I would agree with you. I don't censor much, but all of a sudden I'm starting to like sweat.
There's
sweat going down my forehead.
Yeah. So if I played this video of Amanda getting tased, you would just avert your eyes.
I shall put earmuffs on like a young child when you press play.
It's not coming up, so I guess we'll have to move on to our next link, and that is Kerbly.com.
Kerbly, this was sent to me by Chris Amini, and this is a site where you can post photos of your home, and you can get expert advice in terms of how to better design some of the rooms and some interior design things that you can do, and also advice from the community. And the reason I kind of wanted to bring this up is because, you know, I mean, there's tons of these sites that come out all the time, and they're sort of communities to, you know, do things and improve things, and I haven't heard of anything like this yet. So I think for people who, you know, maybe can't afford an interior designer, and if this community actually grows, it's not such a bad idea.
People are saying, why does Amber not like Amanda? I didn't say you didn't like Amanda.
Oh, I don't. She likes Amanda. I don't.
Amanda's very sweet. No, nobody's.
I don't
like
dislike
Amanda.
Her at all. I don't dislike her at all. And the thing is that I've actually met her, and she's always been very nice to me.
She's darling. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's very sweet. I just, you know, I think there's some.
I don't like
that she
Amanda.
Does. She goes to extremes that I think that you don't necessarily have to do. That's just my feeling. And yeah.
It's a matter of taste or something.
It's a taste, exactly. It is, and yeah. I mean, I like, you know, more of. I think just. You know, more sort of content, and I'm not an actress. I'm not, you know, I actually like really dig all the tech stuff, and you know, whether she does or not, I'm not exactly sure. But I think she just has different motivation, and that's all. And seeing her getting tasered, I just, as a woman, I'm kind of like, you know, whether it's a woman or a man, actually, it just, I feel sort of embarrassed.
I don't know. I think when Yoshi gets tasered, it's fine. Because he's a big guy and he could take it. I don't want to see Amanda get tasered. I think that's kind of creepy. I don't like to see violence against women. Maybe it's different. Kirbly is Curbly, by the way, not K-U-R. Yeah. Let's talk about King Nutter.
Oh, this is a fun site. And I've blogged about this and I've been chatting about it a little bit to a couple people. But I've been waiting for a site like this to come out. It's a place where they post the most recent eBay and YouTube news. And because, as you know, I mean, I'm constantly turning on CNN and I'm going to BBC. And now it's just, you know, it's every single day practically there's some news headline that involves YouTube, a video on YouTube or something happening on eBay. And I'm scouring all these different feeds. But this is one site where you can go and they actually have the most recent news from both of these sites. So it's a nice looking site. And also they post some of the videos that get pulled off YouTube. I was just going to say that.
They have the Anshi Chung video, which was pulled off YouTube.
Yep.
Do you know about that?
A little bit. She's the woman from Second Life who made, she claims to make
$1 million a year in Second Life real estate speculation. And she was giving an interview in the CNET auditorium to a CNET reporter when she got griefed. Now, I didn't know this, but I guess on Second Life, it's possible to be, they call it griefed, where other users hassle you. In this case, well, they pulled the video down, and she asserted a copyright. On it. I guess the assertion was my avatar is my own and it's copyrighted. So they got the video down, but King Nutter still has it. Should I play a little bit of it?
Sure.
She got, actually this, the music is extraneous because it's not really what you were seeing.
Make my way downtown, walking fast.
I'm going to turn that off because I don't want to hear the copyrighted music, but she got attacked. She got attacked by, I don't know how to describe this for a family audience. They're big pink rubber flying things. And then a bunch of adult pictures. And it's it's quite a thing to see. You're not going to get to see it on YouTube because it's pulled down. I don't know how much longer it'll be on King Nutter, but there you go.
Well, that's the thing about King Nutter. I don't know if you remember. They don't care. And there was that supermodel in Brazil, Daniela Cicerelli.
Right.
And
that was pulled off too. Is that on there?
It was pulled up. Yeah. And it's on King Nutter as well. And so, you know, that these are just a couple of things in the past, you know, 2 weeks where people have threatened to sue YouTube or, you know, they've forced them to take these videos down. And then I go to King Nutter and they're there. And I have to say, I watch them. I don't know what else to say, but it's,
Realize that the Daniela one was on there, so I'll save that for later. My own personal viewing. But so is that what they take? That they're kind of their specialty is banned YouTube videos.
It's really not, and actually I think, you know, just to give them a little bit of credit, they do have some of the newsier things that happen on eBay when people are trying to, you know, sell things like snow and kind of the funny stories that happen on eBay, and same with YouTube. I just bring up the two videos that have been pulled off because I think, you know, a lot of people wonder, you know, where are these videos? And they're searching them. Right. And then all these people on YouTube end up putting up these false headlines and you think they're the videos.
Oh, that's driving me crazy lately.
I know. It's driving me crazy. And I actually brought it up on Command N last week. And then I was co-hosting with Will Pate, who was in Toronto. And he said to me, he's like, oh, so you can't see the Britney Spears video that you wanted to see? And I was like,
yeah,
oh,
they caught
you. Well, maybe.
Busted.
I know.
I'll admit it. What they do is it's spam. But the thing is, the way I run into it is because I will go to YouTube. You have to look at YouTube all the time. It's part of your job. But I will go to YouTube maybe once a week and look at the top rated videos. And 9 out of 10 times in the top 5, 2 or 3 of them are spam. It says, you know, something usually sexy. You click on it and it's spam. It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, exactly. And I know it is kind of frustrating, but it continues to happen all the time. I know.
I guess there's nothing they could do about it. Spammers just really ruin the experience in general for everybody. King Nutter is KINGNUTTER.com. You know, I'd like to, we have more links and maybe we can get to them a little bit later on, including Nintendo sneakers from Urban Retro Lifestyle. I like that.
Oh, they're pretty sweet looking.
Sweet sneakers. And the guy who's trying to raise $1 million for a movie by selling one frame at a time, mymilliondollarmovie.com. But before we go much farther, I'd like to get our guest on. You mind if we do that? We actually have two guests.
No.
Let's start with Dan Dorado. Dan is one of the writers for a great website for tech news and Mac news in particular, uneasysilence.com. Hey, Dan, welcome to Net at Night and Talk Shoe.
Thank you for having me, Leo.
It's good to have you.
Hi,
Say
Dan.
Hello to Amber MacArthur.
Hi, Amber. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You were one of the people sitting in the keynote typing as fast as you could.
Yeah. Thank God my cell phone had signal. I was very worried up until the last minute.
You were doing it on a cell phone?
Well, I paired my Palm Trio up with my laptop over EVDO and a little trickery with BB Edit and Transmit was able to get the coverage up.
Now, you were underwhelmed by the iPhone.
I was absolutely underwhelmed. I'm not impressed in the least.
Tell us why.
Okay. Well, the first thing that bothered me about the iPhone, or at least stuck out for me, was the battery. Number one, you can't remove the battery. And for all the technology that they packed in this very, very, very small device, for them to claim the device will get 5 hours of battery life, concerns me.
I agree. If you could remove the battery, you could buy a second one, pop it, and put, so I could watch a movie on the plane, kill my phone, of course, but then when I get out, I could put another charge battery in.
Right. And, you know, I'm very familiar with how the battery life works on the iPod, and I know Apple claims, oh, it'll last, you know, forever and a day, you don't need to charge it, blah, 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 blah. But when you start scrolling through songs and start using that hard drive, that battery life starts tailing off. So I find it very hard to believe that they'll be able to pull up to 5 hours.
They're saying right now 5 hours if you are talking or watching movies. They don't say how long he didn't say how long it was if you're just listening to music. I presume it'd be like a nano, which is more like
right.
10 hours. And then they're claiming 16 hours standby time.
Well, we'll see if that comes true. You know, everyone's getting excited about how beautiful the user interface is, how many things it can do, how much storage it has. But the device can't stay powered on for a full day with full use. That means me texting, surfing the net, listening to music, watching the movies. The device is absolutely useless to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna use it if you can't get it. I mean, most smartphones, you have to charge them at the end of the day. You charge them every night. I charge my BlackBerry every night. I charge my Dash every night. That's not so bad. But if you can't even get through a whole day,
I find it hard to believe because I'm a Trio user. I've been using it for the beginning of time, and I know that even my poor Trio, which doesn't have any moving parts, it's completely memory driven, can't make it through an entire day. It gets through you know, pretty much the work day,
right.
But I know the second I'm done for the night, I have to sit it on its little charger and let it charge overnight so it's ready to go for the next day. The screen is amazing. I absolutely love the screen, but I also have to take issue with why Apple went with Edge. Singular spending a lot of money to promote and build out their new cellular UMTS, I believe that's the right abbreviation, network, that supports both voice and data simultaneously. And for Apple to choose the lesser technology of Edge means that they're not really pushing the device to be a true internet-enabled device.
That was some of the speculation too, was were they going to go GSM and then add themselves to the entire world market, or were they going to go with CDMA, maybe something like Verizon or Sprint, and have the higher 3G? And I guess they decided to opt for the world market.
Well, the world market is the great idea, but the edge technology is very, very slow. The UMTS supports both voice and data simultaneously, and, you know, Singular is doing a very large push to get very high-end devices, which I believe the iPhone's marketed as, to, you know, get on this new high-speed network. And instead, they're Apple's kind of hoping that users will latch on a Wi-Fi, which everyone who's used a Wi-Fi-enabled handheld device knows kills battery life.
Right.
So I'm not excited. I'm really not. I'm also very, very, very skeptical of how fast the device is. I have an old PowerBook G4. You know, right now I'm working on my MacBook Pro, but I have an old PowerBook G4 that's sitting next to me. And CoverFlow on my old PowerBook G4, which has a really nice graphics card in it, isn't as fast as the iPhone.
Yeah, how do you think they did that? You think that was faked?
I'm not going to jump out there and say it's faked. I think there certainly was some magic that happens by, I don't know who. But
now, I asked David Polk, who got a chance to play with it, and he said CoverFlow was as fast. The phone felt fairly snappy. So whatever they're doing, they're able to do it. You know, they're denying, they're not saying what kind of processor is in it. I think that's because it's not an Intel processor. Most people agree that it is a strong arm chip from Samsung.
Yeah, that's a rumor I've heard as well.
Yeah. And by the way, that raises the issue. If it's a strong arm chip, is it really OS X, since OS X has not been ported?
You know, they've always been hiding that Intel build of Mac OS X in the labyrinths of the Apple lab. So
they might have it.
Who knows?
So
who
Amber, knows? Are you dissuaded?
You know, the thing is, I realize that there's going to be some issues, I think, with the phone. I'm excited about it more from the perspective that I think maybe a year down the road, it might be a really, really great option for someone who wants something that's more like an all-in-one device. And I haven't, like you said before off the top of the show, Leo, is that I've tested a lot of different cell phones, and there's none that I'm super, super happy with.
This one looks better than anything yet.
And that's part of it. So I'm excited to try it, and I think it'll probably be designed well, and I'm sure it'll have, you know, there'll be problems with it. But it's nice to see a lot of those features kind of rolled into one. And
so, Dan, are you saying you wouldn't buy one if you could?
I am certainly not buying one.
Oh, wow. Are you buying one, Amber?
Yes, I probably will buy one. Yeah.
I'm already
in line.
Well,
Leo, the one thing that was running through my head when I was watching the keynote, and they devoted, you know, the hour and a half. I forgot how long it was. My head was hurting.
It was an hour and a half. Yeah.
Oh my God! To the iPhone, all that was running through the back of my head was Newton.
Well, that's true. Apple has, you know, not been perfect. They have stumbled. You think it's another Newton?
I think it's another Newton. When
David
they
said
went
it was
on
hard to type on. He said it was not, you know, Steve made it look like it was easy to type on. It is not, but at least
that's what I worry about the most is actually, I wouldn't see using it at all for a device where I'm, you know, typing out emails.
Hey, let's get John Gruber in on this. John, of course, was also at Macworld. He is with daringfireball.net, a wonderful blog. He's one of the best online writers there. Let's call in John and see if he's available too, because I'd like to get his opinion on this. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
John Gruber from daringfireball.net. John, you're on with Amber MacArthur. I'm Leo Laporte and Dan Dorado from Uneasy Silence. And Dan was just saying that he thinks the iPhone leaves a lot to be desired, particularly because of the battery not being removable. He's worried about battery life. He thinks it's not going to be very fast with that edge network. And he says he's not going to buy it. How do you feel about it, John?
Well, I mean, I think the battery life is certainly a major concern for a lot of people, but the same strategy has served out well with the iPod, the non-replaceable battery. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't people who it's going to be a deal breaker for, but I think Apple's thinking is, you know, this is how we build these devices, you know, and in a couple of interviews this week, you know, Steve Jobs has explicitly stated that he sees this more as an iPhone or iPod-like device than as a computer or a PDA or what you
It's less of a phone and more of a, well, even not even just an iPod, but he called it an internet communicator.
Right. I mean, and one way you can think of it that way is think of a device that, let's just call it, say, the next generation iPod. If hypothetically the next iPod is exactly like this iPhone, except it doesn't have any of the phone features. You know, if it has the Wi-Fi.
That's one other thing I was saying is I really hope that they do a touchscreen iPod. I mean, wouldn't that be a nice iPod? Might be a better iPod than it is a phone.
Right. I mean, so imagine a device with the exact, I mean, even if you imagine that it, you know, don't even think about hard drive storage space. Just think, you know, flash-based storage, just like this, 4 gigabyte, 8 gigabytes. It would be, you know, the exact same specs other than the phone features.
That's, no, I want one with a 100 gigabyte hard drive.
Well, I'm just saying, though, for the sake of argument, just to say 4 and 8 gigabytes.
Just leave out the phone.
Yeah, leave out the phone. Presume that it gets at least thinner because the phone's gone. It's a very compelling device for, you know, I don't know what price. Now, think about it with a similar form factor and with an 80 or 100 gigabyte hard drive. And it's a compelling device, and especially a much, much more compelling device for video playback. So in terms of battery life, I kind of was a little surprised that the battery wasn't swappable, or isn't going to be swappable, but can't say I'm shocked. I mean, I think clearly for some people that's a deal breaker, because there's a lot of people who carry multiple batteries, you know, who spend so much time on the phone that, you know, with whatever phone they're already using, they carry two batteries with them, and, you know,
that's a lot of commitment to your phone. Wow.
You know, so I don't know, but I, you know, I'm not surprised.
What's the deal on the battery? Just because I, sorry guys, I got kicked off there for a second, but I haven't heard a lot about the battery life at all, or the battery setup or anything.
They claimed 5 hours talk time or watching video, 16 hours standby. And somebody's pointing out in the chat room, and this is true, it does have a standard 30 pin connector. It would absolutely be feasible for a third party to make a charger that goes through the connector, mm-hmm. whether it's a little portable handheld device or whatever. I mean, they make them already for the iPods. So there may be maybe the third party solution for that.
Yeah. And I there was a lot of speculation about that at the show that the first, you know, what's the first thing peripheral makers are going to want to make for this? And I think it was almost unanimous that it would be some sort of external battery pack.
And a screen protector, because I tell you what, that screen is big. It's sitting there in my pocket. That's going to break soon.
Well, that's a big question in terms of how does the technology work for this multi-touch? You know, how much of it is based on, you know, some sort of capacitance, or I'm not quite sure what the technical term, but, you know, some way that it actually, you know, is it sensitive? Does it know what skin is? You know, does it not work so well if you were wearing a glove?
He said if you hold it up to your face, it automatically, it has a proximity sensor is what John's called.
Oh, I heard about that.
So it would know that it's being touched by your face. It also...
Well, I'm saying, if you put one of those stickers over the face of it, you know,
don't do that. Yeah, like that's going to break.
Well, right. But there is, you know, there's...
I'm sure avoid a warranty.
Maybe. Well, you know, there are obviously more questions about the phone than there are answers. I already asked Dan. He says he doesn't want one. Amber says she does. John, would you get in line at Singular to buy one?
You know, I'm on the fence. User interface-wise, I am fascinated by it, and I really do want to write about it on Daring Fireball.
It is a spectacular UI.
You know, and so I, you know, in terms of... professionally, I mean, and it sounds like an excuse, and I'm sure a lot of people out there are laughing. Yeah, haha, sure. You know, you need to buy an iPhone.
Yeah,
so
you need
do
one
it.
For
but,
review you know, purposes. Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and part of that, admit it. I mean, the reason I'm doing this is that I love gadgets and I love user interface. So it would be fun to buy one. But
I think. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it doesn't really fit my habits, though, as a phone buyer. I mean, I'll admit my current phone is a $29 Nokia from about 2 years ago, a little candy bar phone. You know, which has no smartphone features, has no Bluetooth, has nothing like that. It's just great for making phone calls. I get great connection. And, you know, it's totally, it's not just pocketable, but it's, I call it droppable, you know, and that's how
that's
I use
That's a good
my
way to
phone.
Think of it. Droppable. That's,
right.
So the iPhone is far from droppable.
Now to expand on that, what John said, now I agree. I think a phone is a phone. It's a calling device. Now, is Apple filling the need with all these additional features, or are they creating the need?
I think they think they're creating a new category.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's really interesting is I talk to a bunch of people who I work with, you know, some of them who are way less tech savvy, and I think what they were the most excited about, it was not the fact that it connected to the internet or anything. You know, they finally understand the iPod, and they're comfortable with the iPod, and they understand cell phones, and the idea that they would just have one that, you know, had both of these things in one device. I think that's what they were most excited about, is that they wouldn't have to carry around two gadgets. Like, they really didn't care about being able to surf the internet or do email or any of those things, or the touch screen or all these other features we're talking about. It was, you know, simply the fact that as much as you have all these other cell phones that have MP3 capabilities, they really weren't using them because they weren't as comfortable with, you know, just the experience on them as they were with the iPod. And so I think that it almost does create a new category for people who, you know, will be comfortable, you know, kind of smashing those two worlds together.
In just a minute, we're going to open the lines and take calls. So I would ask that those of you who are in the queue, you stay in the queue if you have a question for John, Dan, and Amber about the iPhone or about Macworld. But that's what we're going to ask you to talk about tonight. So if you're on the queue and you don't have a question about that, please get off the queue. We'll start taking calls in a second. John, you're a developer. One of the questions, a big question mark, was can we get third-party apps on the iPhone? And so far, from what Steve told the New York Times, it doesn't look like there will be third-party apps on the iPhone. Is that a disappointment to you?
Well, clearly, if that's going to be the final answer, it's, you know, it makes it less compelling to me. But June's a long way off. So, you know, let's wait and see. I mean, if they're unsure, if they haven't decided yet what the policy is going to be, it certainly would be far better for them to start out by saying, no, not at all, or we have no plans for that. And then later on, sort of ease into some sort of policy of what, you know, being a little bit more lenient or opening up, you know, at least the dashboard widget API, or if not the full software API, as opposed to sort of dropping hints now and then sort of getting second thoughts later and then yanking it away.
You must have looked at this and said, oh, I'd love to write a widget or two for that.
Right. And I'd also, there's a bunch of developers who I'd love to, you know, badger about it. I mean, one thing, for example, you know, huge, huge thing that nobody has talked about, Apple hasn't shown anything about, is RSS. There hasn't been any kind of hint about what kind of RSS features. Now, does the web, you know, what they're, you know, on the iPhone, it's called web, but, you know, in the keynote, he called it Safari, but it's, you know, clearly a Safari-derived web browser. Does that include RSS in the way that Safari on Mac OS X includes RSS? They didn't show it. But if it doesn't have a built-in RSS app, I mean, clearly it would, you know, that's just a gaping hole that, you know, someone like, you know, NewsGator with NetNewsWire and a bunch of other developers would love to fill in.
Or a podcast aggregator would something I'd love to see. You know, if it really is KHTML and it's the K browser, that would mean also JavaScript, Java. I mean, you would have a lot of capabilities in there.
Well, there was one article this week where I think it was Phil Schiller. Somebody should Google it and find it. I don't have it handy, but I think it was an interview with Phil Schiller where the answer was, or maybe it was David Pogue's fact on the New York Times, one or the other. But the answer was, does it have Flash and does it have Java? And the answer to both was no. Now, I don't know. I don't think that's definitive. But it seems like, you know, there's, you know, JavaScript, yes, but not Java and not Flash for the web browser.
Dan, so, have you heard anything from your sources?
Everyone that I've spoken to, there's a rumor that it may support Flash. I have heard that Apple is working on a similar development platform that the Mac, you know, that they have for the Mac OS X with developing widgets. So I guess it could be assumed that the device would have Java. If it's accessible from the web browser is another question.
But Java would be key to adding third-party apps. I mean, that's really how you do it on most phones now anyway, so it's not such a bad thing. My question is, will Uneasy Silence do a flying toasters for the iPhone? That's what I want to know.
Well, we're really trying very hard to get, you know, second we start finding out how this phone works, that we'll get the flying toasters on it. It's now my mission to port it to every operating system ever made.
Highly recommended if you're a flying toasters fan. UneasySilence.com, they've got they've brought back the classic screensaver, the flying toasters. And even though no one needs it, it's good to know that's back. Let's take some calls. We've got Dan Dorado on from UneasySilence.com, John Gruber, who is from DaringFireball.net, of course, Amber Mack. And myself, and going to our queue, I have to push all these buttons and make this all work. Let's see, because I screwed it up big time yesterday, or last week, I should say. Let's see if I can get this right. I think, who's on the line here? Is it QIPcast? Quipcast?
Yeah, Quipcast.
Where are you calling from, and what's your real name?
Russell Harrell from QuipTech Media, which is a new tech station. And I'm calling from Australia.
Wonderful.
Oh, wow.
I was just wondering if anyone knows if it will be, because we do live television 24/7, would the iPhone be able to be watching like live TV?
Wouldn't that be great if it could be, I mean, you know, if it had been on Verizon, I would imagine Verizon would have enforced its VCast capabilities. Does Singular even, I don't think the Edge network is good enough to do it, to be honest.
No, I don't think so. I mean, and TV would be at the far edge of putting live content on the phone. And at least so far, the answer is that media content comes when you sync with iTunes. It syncs like an iPod. Even though it has Wi-Fi, even though it connects to Edge, the answer right now is there's no way to load media content onto the phone.
It just
over the air.
But you can watch TV and movies, but you just have to buy them through iTunes. It's not live.
Right. And I mean, and clearly, I mean, this is going to be the 1.0 product, and this is the feature set that they're declaring now that they're going to ship with in June. I mean, I think it's obviously they're in this, you know, judging from the hyperbole in the keynote. I mean, that, you know, we're making history. This is a, you know, one of the biggest days in the company history. I mean, Apple is clearly in this for the long haul. And eventually, I mean, that is obviously inevitable. But at least from the get-go, there's definitely not going to be live TV.
I just want to mention QIPCAST.com is his website. It's, they say, the future of TV, and clearly they're looking at doing streaming television, something like the Venice Project and a number of other people are planning. I mean, this is something that a lot of entrepreneurs are taking a look at. It's kind of exciting. Deus Twilight, you're on Talk Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
You're the first to get my name right, sir.
I can recognize that anywhere. Deus Twilight.
Thank you.
Something from all those years of Latin. Where are you calling from, first of all?
I'm calling from Georgia, sir.
All right.
My question is, what did Steve Jobs know at the keynote that everyone else didn't know when he said it was called the iPhone?
Good question.
Because, of course, he immediately got sued by Linksys. What happened there?
Oh, man, it's unbelievable.
Do you want to tell the story of how that happened?
Well, the iPhone, I can't stand that name.
I think the good news is you don't have to worry about it. I think it's probably going to end up being the Apple phone or something else.
Well, I don't necessarily know about that because I was watching the keynote before I got it in on this talk show. And when he said the iPhone, he had this little smirk on the corner of his face. Apple's lawyers are known as being, you know, one of the better groups of lawyers in the industry. And I'm sure that before this product was announced, that lawyers spoke with lawyers and who knows if money exchanged hands.
Here's the story that actually came out of Cisco. They told the story. They said, we've been negotiating with Apple for a long time. I got the impression maybe even months or years. We had solved all of the issues. The only issue left was the issue of we as Cisco, as Linksys, wanted interoperability. We wanted to work with Apple so that we would be interoperable with the Apple platform. And that was the last thing on the table. 8 o'clock Monday night, 12 hours before the keynote, Apple walks away without a word, says nothing. The next thing they know, it's announcing the iPhone. And that's why Cisco had to go to court.
What are they thinking?
Well, I don't know much.
Go ahead, John.
There's a good article on ZDNet by Ed Burnett. I can send you the link, but it's blogs.zdnet.com/Burnett on his weblog. And the gist of his... And he did some research into this. The gist of it seems to be that you can't just hold on to a trademark and never use it. And there's a sort of a statute of limitations on it. And it seems like Cisco's, which they didn't invent this iPhone trademark. They picked it up from some other little company that had it in like 98 or 99. They never really used it in a product. And it seems like it went up about a year ago was when it would have gone back to free-for-all. At which point any other pending claims for it would have been evaluated. And apparently Apple had one under some kind of shell company. I mean, a lot of this is like real corporate cloak and dagger stuff. And it seems like when Cisco released that infamous iPhone right before Christmas, the one of the Brian Lamb scoop on...
Don't get me started.
We hate
that. He got a Jackass of the Week for that one from me.
I know, and I was proud of you, John. I agree with him.
But it seems like that might have been too little too late, like that, you know, legally. Like, there might be a very strong case. It sounds sort of like, oh, slick lawyers taking it away. But it seems like it was actually too little too late because they didn't actually use it for a product in the time that they needed.
So that backs up your thinking, Dan, that maybe Apple knew something.
I'm sure they did.
I think Apple's lawyer said, look, we can, it would be better if we could get them to just say, look, you're, you know, here's a piece of paper that says we're letting you have it. But if we need to, we can win this. And so worst case might be for Apple that, not that it goes to Apple and Apple owns a trademark on iPhone, but that Apple, it might be sort of like a term that they're allowed to, you know, anybody would be allowed to
it's
use.
It's kind of wide
Apple,
open. Although Apple has worldwide trademarks, they're only missing the U.S. trademark.
And that they're sort of counting on the fact that the strength of their branding and marketing is such right. that no one else serious would dare use it lest they be laughed, you know.
Although, who cares? The iPhone, as you said, Dan, it's not the best name in the world. It's just kind of the default name. And they could call it the Apple phone or any number of other things.
So many people just started calling it that, too. I think that's part of it as well, is that just, you know, people are randomly calling it that. So there's probably... You know, there could be a lot of other names that were better. And I mean, especially since, you know, Apple has dropped computers off their name. I mean, they have the Apple TV. There could be a lot of different things they could call it for sure.
Yeah, I think these decisions like this, especially like brand name stuff, really. I mean, I know sometimes I think maybe Steve Jobs' magic gets overstated. But I think in terms of like naming and branding and stuff, I really think a lot of it is what he feels in his gut is the right name. And, you know, I guess the answer is he... You know, he thinks iPhone is the name to call it.
Randy South is suggesting we call it the Jobs phone, and that might be the best. Calibu or Kayaboo, welcome. It's KFI. It's Talk Shoe, Net at Night. I got my radio shows confused. What's your real name and where are you calling from, Kayaboo?
I'm Carl, and I'm calling from Sweden.
Great. Carl, you just made a friend
Sweden.
With Amber.
Yeah. I'm calling from my cell phone, so I'm making an international call here.
Oh, well, we'll get you on and get you off quickly so you don't have to pay too much.
Oh, my call is up to an hour now. That's not a problem.
Oh, Kayaboo.
Oh, you sound great, actually. The quality is great.
It's a 3G phone, so it's a high bandwidth audio connection.
And as is often the case with our friends from Scandinavia, they speak better English than we do.
Yeah, I noticed that. And better music, too.
Yes.
Sorry, go.
Where in Sweden are you from, Kayaboo or Kalibu?
The southernmost of Sweden. Lund.
I was in Stockholm, and then we went to a little island called Visby, and I just fell in love with both the Swedes and the country. It's beautiful. Of course, I haven't been there this time of year. It might not be quite as good as it is in August.
Oh, my favorite part about living here is that my internet connection is 100 megabits, and it costs me $15 a month.
Oh, shut up.
Stop bragging now.
Everyone hates us for that.
Oh, shut up. We just hate you. So what can we do for you? Any questions for our panel?
The thing I'm thinking about with the iPhone is what happens when they're going to like send it out to the rest of the world, because the U.S. cell market is very closed and very very like the operators control very much in the U.S. But in the rest of the world, like you can just buy an unlocked phone and then you go and buy your SIM and everything. And Apple's model doesn't really work there.
I was really hoping that they actually would ship an unlocked GSM phone. That would have made everybody happy. They wouldn't have had to deal with a carrier. You know that Singular's making demands.
They could revolutionize the U.S. cell market by making everyone go out and buy SIM cards and go into the operator and saying, why are these data plans so bad? I want to download from iTunes.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Carl, yeah, I think you're right on.
And like... All the phones here, they support, there's an industry standard for DRM called OMA DRM, which all the phones here, for like all the ringtones you buy and all the music stores from all the operators here, it's a standardized
when you
DRM
say here, is it,
across all the different phones.
When you say here, is it Sweden? Is it Europe?
It's Europe in general.
Okay.
Well, Carl, I think you can pretty much forget about Apple using anybody else's DRM.
Yeah, not
going to happen. But, in terms of them selling the phone...
Can they sell it here? Can they get... Because in the U.S. they have the exclusive deal with Singular, so they can get the visual voicemail and everything. Are they just completely ignore that in Europe? Or are they going to try to make
already for sale? It's already for sale on Amazon in Germany as an unlocked.
Well, did you see those unboxing photos?
But is it really unlocked or is it a scam? I mean, have they figured out how to unlock it?
You can't buy it. I mean,
there's three phones. There's three. Steve has one, and there's two under glass. What do you mean for sale in Germany?
Presumably, it's you know, pre-order. I mean, you know, I ordered
pre-order, but they don't know how to unlock it. I mean, Apple doesn't. It may not be unlockable.
I can only assume that if it was a scam that that Amazon would have taken it down already. It's been up for a week. It's on the top of their bestsellers list in German electronics. And it's, you know, it's apparently an unlocked phone. It doesn't come with a SIM card. It does not come bundled with any sort of service from any provider. It's just a phone.
Now there are
how
some
much
features.
Is it?
How much is it?
It is €999 for the 8 gigabyte.
Ouch. That's $1,500 US, roughly.
Yeah, and I think it's like $899 for the 4 gigabyte. That's euros.
That's with
the value added tax. And
now, you know, I should point out there's some features you would miss. The voicemail feature, for instance, which is one of its best features, the random access voicemail, will only work in conjunction with Singular. I mean, that's a really right. singular feature. Well, Carl, we're glad you're listening in Sweden. We love it that you're staying up. It's about 3 a.m. there. Thank you.
My guess is
for you, Leo.
Thank you, Carl. Take care.
My guess is that Apple is going to enjoy the European market more than the U.S. market because of the fact that it's less carrier dependent and
right.
You know,
well, John, I do have to disagree. I had a dinner at CES with Palm, and I was talking about, you know, their entry into the U.S. market and European markets, and they find the U.S. market is actually easier to get into because the carriers are less stringent than you know, Great Britain and other European operators. They seem to really have their tentacles deep into how a device functioned, as opposed to the U.S., where they have, you know, less restrictive grasp on how things are supposed to go.
Well, then I could be wrong. I mean, I certainly, you know, they certainly haven't said anything yet about what their strategy is outside the U.S. other than vague hints in some interviews.
That, and they've given some time frames. They said Europe by the end of this year, Asia by 2008. Although, Amber, I did hear it was later retracted. A Rogers spokesman said that they expected to get it into Canada under the Rogers.
Yeah, that was a big rumor for a while. Actually, someone posted that on one of the blogs, and I think they said probably in about 9 months.
Right.
From now, that's what was kind of going around. Beautiful. But I mean, again, nothing totally specific about when it would be out here.
We are running low on time. I'm sorry to say, but let's see if we can get Randy South in here. Maybe a couple more calls. Randy South, welcome to Net at Night.
Well, thank you, Leo.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I know everyone's talking about the iPhone. But what about the Apple TV? Is anyone going to run out and buy one?
My brother just called me to tell me that he has pre-ordered it. And yeah, he's so excited. Yeah, he said it was the only thing he's ever pre-ordered before.
Dan, you were at CES. I know there were a number of other companies announcing similar products, including the Sling Catcher, which will be $100 less and will be platform agnostic. Are you running out to buy an Apple TV, Dan?
I have two on order.
Okay, well, there you go. How about you, John Gruber?
No, I honestly, I'm unsure what it would add to my TV setup. I mean, number one, I don't have a high-definition TV yet, so I couldn't even hook it up. But
I like, you know, the idea of being able to get my iTunes. I have been buying shows and even movies on iTunes. It'd be nice to be able to ship that.
Yeah, I like it. But, I mean, I have a TiVo, so I already, you know, and I have a cable. My cable package, you know, delivers every show that I would want to watch. So, I mean, it's very, very rare that I miss a show, you know, that my TiVo doesn't catch.
Yeah. See, I got rid of cable for that very reason. I prefer to buy my shows a la carte.
Right. And see, I think that's a very different situation. I think that's really what, you know, I know it's only $299, but, you know, which isn't that much for consumer electronics or stereo equipment. But, you know, I think it really depends how much of the stuff you watch on TV you get from the net.
Right.
You know, whether
right.
it's of legitimate provenance or not. You know, if it's on your computer and you want to watch it on your TV, it's a very compelling device. The way I watch TV, everything's just on my TiVo already, so it's not really that compelling.
I really want to thank you, John Gruber and Dan Dorado, for joining us. John's website is a must-read, daringfireball.net, not only for its great acerbic writing, but just also it's a great way to stay in touch with some of the most interesting things happening out there on the net. Thank you for being here. We really appreciate it, John.
Thank you so much,
Thank you,
guys.
Leo.
Yeah, and thanks to Dan
Amber.
Dorado. It's Uneasy Silence. .com is a fantastic news site, and from now on, that's where I'm going when I want to. Are you going to do besides Macworld and CES? Are you going to do other keynotes? And is this kind of something new for you, or
this is something new for us? The demand is obviously there. I'm going to try to get to as many as my wallet will let me get to.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Now, don't be scared, Dan and John, because we do something a little creepy.
Oh, it is creepy.
At the end of every show, it's kind of like something out of a horror movie. We give everybody everybody who's been listening to the show, and there are quite a few of them, a chance to say goodnight to everybody. Before I do that, I want to remind you that this show becomes a podcast, just like Cinderella's Coach becomes a pumpkin. On Tuesdays, we post the high-quality version. You can listen to the streaming version, of course, always on TalkShoe right after the show. It gets posted up. But that's phone quality. The high-quality version goes up on Tuesday. And we hope you will subscribe. The podcast is on iTunes. And, of course, you can also use Juice or any other iTunes or a podcast catcher by going to leo.am/podcasts/ITN. That's the feed for Ned at Night. Amber, what's coming up for the week for you besides snow?
Well, hopefully not too much snow. I mean, you're coming to town, so
I'm coming up. That's right.
I will finally eat some good meals, and I don't have to eat cereal for dinner.
And we're going to do Command N on Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to do Command N on Thursday, and Command N should actually be out tomorrow, and that will be the most recent episode, and we have a review of both CES and Macworld and some other fun stuff in that episode, and then I'll just be back to work and working on a new show that I'm starting at City and a bunch of other stuff, so it'll be busy, but
can we tell people the show's name?
Yeah, sure. It's going to be called Web Nation.
And do you know when it'll be on?
I'm not sure exactly, but I know the good news is that for the first time there, we're putting the entire show on the internet. So
yeah.
I'll make sure to let everybody know when the first one gets up.
All of you Swedish fans are very happy right now.
I'm going to Sweden soon, Leo.
Are you? Carl, we're coming.
One day.
We have a lot of friends in Sweden now. All right, everybody, here's your chance to say goodnight. We thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 Greenwich Mean Time. I'm Leo Laporte for Amber MacArthur. Good night from Ned at Night. Good night, everybody. So weird.
All I hear is I love the internet.
I hear people singing. It's like somehow the ether is soaking into your brain. I got five.